welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network, back in 2012. Happy New Year, everyone, because it's a year of Mac ahead and a year of doing these shows and having fun with all my mates on a Friday afternoon. And without alcohol as well. I'm clean today. First time I've been dry in a long time. What are you doing?
That's your New Year's resolution.
Shaker. Dr. Happy Shaker. joining me, the usual panel, fantastic group of people. Top left, me mate Dom McAllister. How's it going, mate?
Oh, Ewan. Oh, it's doing okay. Doing well. I had a nice break over Christmas and New Year, but back into the throng of things now, so it's all going well.
I absolutely crapped myself about an hour ago because you tweeted out, I've got Bagel Tech Mac in an hour, and I'm sitting thinking, no, it's in half an hour. my backside was twitching like you wouldn't believe. Was the Christmas good?
Yeah, it was good. We had the family round and the usual stuff. Managed to take some time off as well, which is always a good thing.
But, yeah, I stopped the bagel. That was it. I want to get off for a month.
Yeah, but it's from one thing to the next. I mean, before Christmas, I was sort of panicking to get those applications into the Mac App Store, and now I've got a new website, which is nearly there, and we're hopefully going to launch that next week. So this week's been frantically trying to get that all together. So it's never a dull moment.
Good man. Next to him, we've got Carl Swagger, Dr. Takeoff, in the background, with air conditioner keeping you cool.
Oh, yeah, thank God, yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, man. Happy New Year. Good Christmas?
Good Christmas, good New Year. I was going to say quiet Christmas, and then I would say quiet, peaceful New Year, but that's never the case here.
You started working pretty quickly after Christmas, I noticed.
Yeah, it was kind of nonstop, really, but it's all good.
Season, they show games all the time.
Yep.
Next to him, we've got Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How are you doing, pal?
I am doing great.
Thank you for the sign language. Not that I recognize it. What have you been up to? Apart from doing photo.
Just working.
Write and type. Next to him, Greeny. Hello, mate.
Hello.
How are you?
Mr. Greeny.
Will the Green.
Oh, I've only just started talking. The dog started yapping.
That's all right, mate. Dog's a sixth panelist. Don't worry. Watson's usually got better things to say than you have.
I took him a walk the second before this. I thought that would keep him quiet, but it obviously not doing the job. So I'm just going to chop his head off, and I'll be back in a minute. Okay.
Okay. This child-friendly podcast is very happy with that.
I'm not really going to chop his head off.
No, it's just make it clear to my son. Yeah, and doesn't matter because Dr. Happy Mac's on, and his daughters won't be able to listen to this anyway. How you doing, mate?
Good.
Dr. Flirty Mac.
It's not my fault. My fault that I've just cut such a dash.
She pays you to be there as well. That's what gets me.
I know.
Yeah, we've been talking about your Mrs. Lover, and who isn't? Who isn't, of course? That's just a scurrilous rumour.
Mrs. Lover.
Lover. The week in Mac, the rumours, there's a surprise, have been abounding. Apparently, there's going to be a January event for Mac, which is going to be educational-based. WWDC has got an SMS service now, thanks to two guys on a website who will tweet you out when the tickets are around. And our old mate, Sir Jonathan Ive, has got a knighthood. And it's a shame that Mr. Green's not here to start this one off, because if there's anyone that fancies a bit of Johnny Ive's sword, mate, it's him. What do we reckon? Johnny's got a knighthood.
Hooray!
Yay! Well done, Johnny. You're a Brit and you're a Mac man, so that's okay. We like that bit.
I think he earned it.
He's a bit young. No?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, really? I was thinking that. Yeah.
Bit young.
He's in his 50s.
Well, no.
Is he in his 50s?
Sure. I think so.
I thought he was only 44-ish, 45, about my age.
He's 44?
Yeah, see? I haven't got a knighthood. I'm not even close. 44 and knighted already. I think he's a bit young for it, but
he's very influential, though, isn't he? He's you know, for a Brit, he's sort of got the international stamp.
For a Brit,
well, yeah, he's quite a famous Brit, really.
I remember the Empire. I mean, designing stuff gets you a knighthood.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, there's lots of the fashion designers get honoured, don't they? You get these sort of like Nancy fashion people, and they
there's a title then, Nancy fashion people,
and they get showered with stuff, apparently.
Yeah, Oh, you got old Norman Foster, haven't you? The photography guy. Did he get a knighthood before he went? No, it was Norman Foster, the...
Architect.
The architect, yeah, that's him.
Well, if Brucey can get a knighthood, I mean...
For those crap jokes, definitely. Johnny's far in excess of him.
Did he have an MBE before that, though? Don't you have to climb a ladder?
No. You get it. It's bestowed no matter what. It doesn't. It's just up to the Queen, allegedly. But it's written by government, I think, pretty much. But there's no like squash ladder or darts ladder you have to climb. Will, we're just talking about Mr. Ive getting himself a knighthood, and I know that you're a huge fan of Johnny. So, what's your commentary on it?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's very well deserved, and he's a great bastion of. wonderful.
You're speechless.
Well, yeah, I think it's. I was reading a few comments about it. I think some of the Americans get a bit confused with what actually a knighthood is. It's something to do with, wearing any sort of armor or whatever. But if it designed his own, he'd be pretty ace, wouldn't it? Aluminium, no doubt.
Yeah. Would it have any drives?
I don't know. He'd have a big power button.
He'd have to. He couldn't get away with not having ports, though, could he?
Yeah, Thunderbolt.
There'd have to be at least an inlet and an outlet. While we're on the subject of ports, moving on swiftly, Thunderbolt is coming to iOS devices. There's been a report, allegedly, that iOS devices are going to get Thunderbolt in it for speedy connection. But again, it's rumour, isn't it? It's just a patent thing. My question with this was is there any point? Exactly. Yeah. Why? Why would you want to do it? Why would you want Thunderbolt on an iOS device? Because the resolution...
You're in a hurry.
Well,
you're in a hurry.
Before we had the wireless connectivity, I mean, they've gone in for wireless connectivity now, so there's no real need for it. So,
is it just covering the bases then, just making sure they've got the patent wrapped up so that no one else can do it? Or they can earn money from it?
It's to charge us an extra $25 for that port.
I can't see them putting it on a device though, Kyle, no?
I actually can. I don't know why. We don't know exactly what's in store for this 2012 with, obviously it's going to be very media heavy. But would I use it? Probably not. I've gotten so used to the wireless syncing, like Don said, that I see it a bit pointless. But they're, Apple, they'll find a use for it.
The thing is, I mean, the form factor is great for the iPad, for iOS devices, because it is so small. And with it being a multifunctional interface, if they do go down the road of an iPad Pro, it probably would be a good idea to have a Thunderbolt for the reasons we don't even know yet, for applications that haven't even been written yet. But sure. So it wouldn't surprise me if it appeared on there, to be honest, but to make sort of differentiate the standard iPad from the, this iPad Pro with this higher resolution display, etc.
Has anyone had a play with Real Racing 2 and using their iPhone or iPad as a steering wheel?
No, just Real Racing 1.
Oh, man. Mm. You've got to get Real Racing 2. I've played it on the Mac Mini, and it's slick as snot. I mean, the graphics are fast enough. There's no question that it runs even on a basic Mac Mini. And using your iPhone as a steering wheel, and you can adjust your sensitivity and stuff, it's so realistic. It feels fantastic. And playing it on a 37-inch TV that's less than 2 foot away from your face feels really good too. You've got to go and do it. It's brilliant. It's just superb. It's my recommendation of the week. I did stick cricket before.
Boy, that's the end of the show. We're already in cool things.
Cool things, right. See you next week. Au revoir.
Sweet.
Sorry.
I can go take a nap.
You've got to... Everyone out there has to go and buy Real Racing 2 and play it on a 37-inch TV, short up to their face with their iPhone, because it is bloody fantastic. And that's all that...
Demo?
It's all... No, it's $8.99, bad luck. But that's all done over wireless. I mean, it's only control interface. I know it's not graphics, but they don't seem to be about... the apps being as much on the phones and throwing them backwards and forwards outside of Wi-Fi. Just a thought. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Don't want to talk about that one then. French resellers getting a kick in from Apple on prices and availability. Now, Andrew, I saw you editing this one. This is something close to your heart. What's happened to you? Because you were complaining the other day about Apple not looking after you.
Me?
Yeah. You're the only Andrew here.
Yeah, I was... No, it wasn't that. It was just the fantastic offer that they made me as a what do they call them, an ACN, where I'm registered with Bath Apple Store as an ACN, which means that they phoned me up and I can buy Apple Kit from them at a 5% discount, providing I hand my customer over to them in perpetuity afterwards.
Oh, that doesn't seem very good.
It's not great, no, but there you go. I don't think anyone deals with Apple expecting them to be super generous as a company towards other people.
Is 5% worth the drive, even on multiple items, to Bath from your house?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So, French resellers, does Apple just basically want everyone else to bugger off and leave them to it? Is that the game plan? Like, get rid of the clones?
I don't think they don't really need the resellers, do they?
No.
I mean, back in the day when there was hardly anyone and you had Computer Warehouse and CW Online and stuff, that was probably the way that most people got their boxes. Yeah. So it was great. And then
it was the only way. I had to get my first Mac through a reseller.
Yeah. I got mine from Mac Mall.
Okay.
Well, actually, we don't have a legitimate Apple store over here. Nowhere. So all of ours are authorized resellers. Every single one over here. So it's like, you know, Power Mac over here, these kind of things. And I think in emerging markets they still need it, obviously, until they start really penetrating with, you know, until we see an Apple store here in the Philippines. I guess you can count iTunes, or not iTunes, but the online store. We can do it that way now, which was just recently actually, but. Just like you, Ewan, if you wanted to go buy a Mac here in Manila, you have to go to a reseller.
It's basically just we want rid of this. The French, you know, can go and get stuff because we've got enough Apple stores around France now. So, but they're saying that the shortage is stuck on all the cool stuff. They can't get iPad 2. They can't get iPhone 4S. They can only get back, you know, old stuff, 3GS, that kind of thing.
2G.
You only get 2G out there.
Well, a lot of resellers in California ended up suing Apple over this exact same thing years ago when they started opening the first retail stores here in the States. And they made almost the exact same accusations.
So what happened as a result of that case? Did they force Apple's hand or did Apple just say, well, tough?
There was one reseller that filed, I think, maybe a federal suit, and that was settled. But there's still a pending case in California. Now they filed it in California Superior Court, and it's based on certain state statutes relating to anti-competition and consumer laws and stuff there in California. That case has been open ever since, and I think it was first filed in like 2008 or 2009.
Right, and so it's
sitting there open,
and that's the swift wheels of justice at work.
Yes,
that's right.
Holy hell!
Yeah,
not being funny, but it is the French, isn't it?
I was waiting for somebody to say it.
Good man, Le Grenouille, take it up.
Well, I mean, if there's anybody going to moan in this world, it's the French, isn't it? Christ.
Are we going to get lorry drivers blocking the internet with their vehicles?
Oh, do you reckon that's going to come this summer? Every summer. But I know I'm not being funny, but they do not have a moan. So I wouldn't sort of read too much into the story. I just focus on the French element. Go on, let's slag them off a bit.
That's French. As far as I'm aware, we have no French listeners. I've never seen an email from one. And I've never seen, there's nothing on the server that pops up that says France. And there's no tweets, no. We got Czechoslovakia, we got Hungary, a lot of the Eastern European states, that kind of stuff. Russia, China, we've even got some people, but no one in France. No one at all in France. There we go. Au revoir, les grenouilles. Thank you very much.
You're too proud to learn English.
Steve Jobs doll, who wants one?
I don't know, but I love UK2.net.
Is that a blow-up one?
Oh, it's not moved. There you go. It's supposed to have moved. Sorry. Steve Jobs doll. I want
it's
one.
It's too creepy.
I
want one. It's too creepy, I want man. It's too
cool.
Creepy.
No, it's cool.
No, man. That is superb.
It's creepy. It's not quite there, though, is it? It's not. It's a good attempt, but there's something about it that's not quite right.
Are you all looking at the picture that I've put up?
Yeah.
Dead on.
Right.
Dead on.
That's the doll.
Yeah, I know.
It's not right. There's something not right about it.
Well, it's plastic. It's right. I mean, it's
It's not the actual person.
Tone's asking adult, not life size.
Does it have a permanent mouth opening? Yeah.
It's a real doll.
For those of you that love Steve Jobs, there's now a poseable love doll.
You can really love him.
Oh, there's a title. I mean, I love how the glasses come out and perch on the top of his head. I mean, that is... I'm sorry, Don. I just... I mean, you obviously saw Steve
exactly
up close.
You know exactly who it's meant to be, but it's not a spitting image of it. There are some...
It's a spitting image.
No, honestly, I can... I mean, that picture now you've got on the left-hand side... No, it's not just, it's not right.
He looks a little bit more Steve Austin there, I'll grant you, than Steve Jobs.
Well, maybe the wrist, I suppose. But no, I mean, the facial features, you know, the facial features.
Are articulated.
99% there, but it's that 1% that's missing that instantly recognizable.
So you say you wouldn't buy this on 1% variance of a plastic doll from a real person.
I wouldn't really buy a plastic doll of Steve Jobs anyway, to be
honest. No, you've got to have one of these. If there's any of these sneak out, you've got to have one.
Yeah.
There was one a while back, wasn't there?
There was another one. That got canned.
Yeah, there was. There was a bobblehead too, wasn't there?
Yeah, that got shut down pretty quick.
This one did too, I think. I remember reading somewhere this week that...
Well, they're not actually shut down, but they've been legally threatened by Apple.
Yeah, there you go.
They're supposed to be out in February. You should basically be able to get these. Mm-hmm. They look good.
Have you got eagle eyes?
Actually, Steve
has a little button to activate the RDF.
Steve in the chat room, who claims to be a British Mac fan, it might be added, said he's got wrists like Will Green's. I'm not sure what that means. Is that a right bicep thing as well? No,
he doesn't say that. He says he's got wrist muscles like Will Green.
Exactly. Well, what's the difference?
I don't think we need a demonstration to show you, do we?
He's saying I love you, Will, so obviously he's volunteering his own wrists.
Well, that's very nice. All love is good in my book.
Yeah. So
close your eyes, can't tell.
Carl saying it's G.I. Jobs. No, that's Tone, sorry. G.I. Jobs. That's the title. No question, that's the title this week. And
nope. And Carl, knowing is half the battle.
And Carl saying, it looks like Salman Rushdie.
It looks more like Salman Rushdie than it does Steve Jobs. That's right. You're spot on there.
Now, let's be fair. They're both Arab.
I like that. I thought it was a really cool thing. I really wanted that. That was going to be my cool thing of the week.
Still is.
It's creepy to me. I just look at it, and he's just sitting there going,
"Get over it."
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a great idea.
Go on.
You want an iPhone?
No, it wasn't. I've forgotten. I've got my smoke machine here. So what I can do?
I'm scared to death. Go ahead, mate. What are you going
to
do?
It's going to have anything to do with wrists?
No. What I can do? There's a sort of spooky element to this. Is if I turn the main lights off.
Oh, okay.
In a minute, when it warms up...
Have you got a Ouija board as well?
Well, it'd be quite fun, wouldn't it?
Have a creepy left-hand corner.
Don't talk about using his left hand. So here we go. Salman Rushdie.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs doll.
Mm-hmm.
No? I just don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a similarity.
A little,
no,
a touch.
Salman Rushdie.
It's the curly hair that throws you off. If you take away the curly hair, then
maybe,
it's a little closer.
Maybe even a skosh.
But they both have that same look. That sort of creepy. Yeah, you know you want me look.
All right, Steve Jobs love doll or G.I. Jobs? There we go. Have you started with the smoke machine yet, Matt, in the Ouija board?
This is why I get up.
Greeny, have you started with the smoke machine and the Ouija board yet or not?
No, it takes about 10 minutes to warm up.
Oh,
so,
what?
Let's get on with the show.
30 minutes in, Green starts an effect that's going to take 10 minutes to come.
Well, it's the old, I don't know what it is about it. You know, I did this gig once and I'd had a few beers and I was doing a bit of DJing and I got a bit carried away with the old smoke machine. It was in a Telford town centre. I kept pressing it and pressing it and pressing it, and it set off all the smoke alarms, and they had to evacuate Telford Town Centre shopping mall because of my smoke machine, which is fun, isn't it? They didn't think
that's your claim to fame.
Yes.
Of all the things you could have picked, you picked clearing Telford Shopping Centre with your smoke machine.
Well, you never know. Mind you, there's only me in this place. So I'm not going to clear here. It's really good when it starts going. I can put some disco lights on as well if you want.
Oh, mate, that'd be perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, give me a minute.
Well, they're going to give you 10, apparently. Oh, 9.
Yeah, 10.
Right, give me a minute. I'm going to do it.
Tim Cook is getting $96 million of vested stock that's maturing, think that he did when he was taking over as temporary CEO. It's coming out to fruition. Does anyone else find that a bit obscene? On top of his salary, he's got $96 million of stock options that are withdrawable now. On top of the $100 million that they gave him before, or $300,000 or whatever.
What, you think he hasn't earned it?
Yeah, I think he hasn't earned it. What do you do to earn $96 million? Don't answer that, Greeny. What do you do to earn...
He's got the wrist to show it.
Oh, here we go. Disco Greeny. Oh, God. Disco Greeny.
Way.
Psychedelic Greeny. Oh, man. I just think $96 million. I mean, it's not like his investment, is it? It's stuff he was given by the company and it's matured at night. I find it a bit distasteful.
Well, here's the thing. And most of the executives at Apple get huge stock options.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's been working at Apple for the last 10 years or more, right? He was given these options when the stock was worth like $78. Now it's worth over $400. And a lot of that has to do
with what
he's
done.
Work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't he get that money? I mean, he earned it.
If I was Tim, I'd just say, screw it, I quit.
Andy,
he doesn't get his 100 million, does he?
Right.
No, he's got another 10 years to get his 100 million thing, yeah.
Ah, true. Okay, well, we'll see him for another 10 years, then he'll quit.
Who'd go to work if they had 100 million in the bank?
I wouldn't.
Steve Jobs?
I would too. I'd still work, but I wouldn't do it every day.
I suppose it depends what type of work it is, isn't it, I suppose? I mean...
You sit and play with computers for a living. That's not bad.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd probably still come to work, so that's great, you know, but...
Well, that's because your bedroom's too...
I mean, it's the amount of stress that these guys are under. I mean, if you have that sort of cash behind and the job's really intense and, you know, it's highly pressured, etc., I can't really see why they continue if they have got that sort of background, unless, you know, it's just a way of life for them. It's not really work. I think when you're in that sort of position, it's...
Remember, I mean, Jobs was working up until, I mean, he was the CEO until a month before he died.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
A lot more driven than us.
Yeah. and you have to understand that Jobs hired people like Tim and Johnny Ive and those people because they were driven like he was. So.
I just don't see, I look at Tim, he doesn't drive me anywhere. I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess, you know, I like Steve and I liked how things, you know, were with the company, and it's unfortunate they, you know, he passed away too soon. I feel Apple has lost such a major identity to the company. And when it's like, it would have been great if it would have been Johnny, honestly. But I look at Tim and I'm just thinking, Tim. I mean, yeah, it doesn't even sound good. Tim. No,
you know, you got to give the guy the due. I mean, I know there's the design side and there's the vision side, but he's the operations guy. He's the guy who's delivered on the promise. He's the guy who's executed, you know, creating these products and getting them down to a certain price and getting them shipped and, you know, having this fantastic supply chain that they can actually literally build millions of these devices and have them available sort of in secret on the launch day. It's phenomenal way he's been able to achieve.
And the supply chain as well does run at the point where it actually can leverage the market, so they can force supply of of components that then other suppliers cannot get hold of because of the wealth and volume that Apple are predicting they can sell, I suppose. Yeah, okay, fair point.
And I agree with that. I mean, I think what he's done with the company, as far as a financial point of view and a business strategy, excellent. But he just doesn't look like a face of a company to me, a spokesperson.
Maybe my perspective is different because I met him in person, but I mean, he's he's a pretty nice guy. He's like,
is he?
Yeah. When you're standing there talking to him, you're just like, hey, what a cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not maybe as, he's definitely not as intense as Jobs. There's no question of that. He's not as intense. He is the, from my experience, I would say the epitome of just a really friendly Southern gentleman. And that, to me, has its own charm. I mean, it's not like the Steve Jobs, like, oh my God, woo-hoo.
I do declare, like, Chris.
That's Steve Ballmer, dude. That's Steve Ballmer.
No. Steve Ballmer is like this.
Well, I do declare, Chris, are you in love? Be still my beating heart.
Thing is, if I was looking for a CEO of a huge company like this,
well, I wouldn't pick you, Greeny.
I would.
You're not in green. You don't look good in green, mate.
It'll change in a minute. It'll twizzle around. But I mean, surely okay, he might be a nice bloke, but that's not what you want, is it? You want a charismatic leader, and he is not that, is he? I mean, I keep banging on about Fatty Phil and the old guy, the used car salesman. I mean, none of them are any good.
Let's step back a minute, okay? Was Bill Gates charismatic?
Oh
no, he was just the guy that, like, wow, you really, that's really, oh man,
that's that guy.
Yeah. What are these, Jim and what's his nuts from RM? Are they charismatic? Those guys aren't charismatic. Don't even. I'm just going to answer that for you.
Jim and what's his nuts?
See, now what I find really interesting here is I was over at Greeny's before Christmas and he was recording a podcast, and all the Mac fanboys that were in there were spouting off about Apple's all about the Jobs and Jobs was this and Jobs was that. And I'm like, hang on. Yeah, one guy does not, it's not right. an owner run home business we're talking about here. This is Apple. This is several thousand employees. There's no way Steve Jobs created all of that by himself. And now he's been gone sort of 4 months. You lot are all saying, oh yeah, but look what he's done. Look what Tim's done at Apple. Look at how he's taken over and he did all the supply chain and that kind of stuff. A month ago, everyone was saying it was bloody Jobs.
I'm not saying that.
I didn't.
No. It wasn't me.
I'm talking about all the sycophants.
You're talking about Kyle here.
No, I'm not that smart. I didn't even know that.
Now, don't forget, we had this conversation when he retired, you know, because, and, you know, similar things were discussed then about how it wasn't just a single person running the company. And I think it's evident as well, if you read the autobiography, just, you know, although, yeah, he had some great ideas, he did actually make a couple of mistakes along the way and was sort of railroaded by other people in the company to make certain decisions which proved to be good. So it's old news again, but I'm not too concerned about how Apple's going to move forward under Tim, to be honest.
No, they've got a bright future, definitely. Especially with a knight at the lead.
The smoke machine's warmed up.
Oh, right. Get it on, dude. I'm not sure. Go on, let's see the smoke machine then.
Ready?
Bang a go.
Is it going to take 10 minutes for the smoke to rise up around you?
Get it on.
Have you got any way of controlling it from being between, it started already, from it being between you and the camera lens?
No. This is one of those 1949 smoke machines. He didn't have remote controls yet.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
It is there. Stay forward. Stay, Greeny, stay forwards. It shows up better.
It looks like he's going to teleport.
There we go. Look. Doctor.
See,
who on earth?
I'm the proper pro here. I'm the pro. Look at that.
What are you trying to achieve?
Will Green is Spinal Tap.
Look at that. What do you want? Oh, Christ, it stinks, actually. Can you put...
Oh, my God.
Sting. Will's on fire.
Can you put Staying Alive on by the Bee Gees? There you go. Look at that. Old Don with that multi-billion...
I've spent a fortune on this bloody studio, and Greeny does me with a smoke machine and a frigging blanket.
It's very smoky in here now, I've got to be honest.
Oh, Don, are you going to go to WWDC this year?
I'm undecided.
Oh, really?
Undecided. Well, it's a
hell is freezing over as we speak.
But no, it's expensive. Do WWDC? I mean, Macworld's bad enough because that's it's a long way to go. But WWDC, you're talking £1,500 just for the ticket to get into the sessions.
Yeah,
you can afford it, Don.
Well, well, I don't want to take the place of a proper developer, you know. Although I am sort of a pseudo developer now. Although I need Simon to cut the code. But
I'm an ideas man in the development process.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting to go there, to be honest, and it's great to meet the guys. I mean, I do a lot of networking while I'm there as well, because obviously I don't do as much as I used to do, but sort of doing screencasts for other people. But you know, I do get lots out of it, and there's lots of technical information there as well, which is good to see. But I don't know. I'm sort of undecided this year. I'll sort of probably when the mad panic happens and the tickets go on sale, you know, it'll be a snap decision one way or the other.
I mean, have Apple got a problem with too many developers for this and not being big enough, or do you think they're going to seriously expand it this year?
They said they wouldn't expand it because it's sort of the right amount of developers that they can handle. I mean, they always go to the Moscone Center, and that's, you know, just about right. I think there's about 5,000 developers there at any one time. Because don't forget, they use it a lot for not just the sessions. And the sessions, they were very good this year, or last year rather, in that all the sessions were available online for people to download very, very quickly. I think within a month of WWDC. So you could actually get the technical content very quickly if you were a developer and you didn't go. But the main boon for developers is to actually meet up with the, you know, the Apple people, because they have like over 1,000 engineers on site, and you can sort of book workshops with them. You can book one-to-ones and discuss your particular applications and any technical problems that you're having. So that's the, I know a lot of developers, that's the main focus why they want to actually physically go to WWDC is to meet up with the Apple developers. You can also get, as well as fixing bugs and things, they can give you some ideas or they will... sort of review your app in development and give you some pointers or hints.
That's cool.
How to make it better, things like that. So, you know, it's very, very, very useful in that respect.
Are you going to sign up for this new web application then that's going to send you an SMS as soon as the tickets go on sale?
I might do.
Well, I mean, what was the time last? 8 hours, 12 hours?
It was really quick, yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, a lot of people didn't actually see them, you know, because of the time differences in different continents. They went on sale, I think it was really early UK time. So any UK developer, apparently they didn't sort of...
East Asia missed everything, Carl.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. It's a difficult one for them. It's a difficult one for them, really, because I'm sure they... I think the tone, I don't think they want to make it any bigger, but they want to make sure that all the developers that you know, are going to benefit from it do get access to the technical information.
Jolly good.
Mm. And out there with an A-board, won't he? On the entrance.
Who?
Oh, Don.
Don will be out there.
Yeah, a sandwich board, you know, with screencasts online. Get it here. Sort of thing.
That's an idea.
It is. That's marketing.
You know, I've always wondered about doing that on WWC when there used to be the long queues for the keynote, because, you know, you'd have a couple of thousand people sort of queuing round the block and Moscone Center. I always thought, if I had the bottle, I should have really printed out a load of flyers and just walked down and given everyone a flyer, but I'm too shy to do that. You know,
no, you should do. I remember there's a guy that's an app developer who listens to the show, and he came out with an application, and when they released iPhone 4, I think, he went straight down to the Covent Garden Apple store, and the kid at the front, who was number one in the queue, he gave him 50 quid and told him to wear his T-shirt, and so when he bounded down the stairs as the first person, you got the logo of the app on the front of the shirt.
Well, when I was in New York for the iPad launch, there was the guy at the front was actually selling his place, and I think someone bought it for about $1,200 or something. You know, you would actually give his place up if you give him some cash. And I think it was a developer in that case as well who actually bought his place, and he got interviewed by various people, etc. But
is it yours to sell?
I don't know. Well, he did.
That's a question that will bore everyone.
Do you think he put a clause in there that can I stand behind you?
As long as the person at number three took half, and then it just went down the line thereafter till the guy at the end got 1 cent.
It's pyramid selling. That's the way to do it.
Now, apparently, we were going to talk about expectations for 2012, I guess, from Apple, you know, what we're going to get from it. But, Kyle, you have a rumour for us, an exclusive, from what I understand. No one else knows this?
Well, I don't know if I don't. 100%, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say, I don't know if I know this.
Yeah. I've been hearing some stuff this week, and it has to do with the Apple TV, but this complements the Apple TV. You know, one thing we always talk about iTunes, we talk about on-demand content. We never talk about cable. We never talk about satellite. Now, Apple's not going to do neither one of those, but what is missing from the TV? What is missing from the TV? Live content.
All right.
CNN, live news. Live events, live sporting events, these kind of things.
Right.
from what I'm hearing, you can laugh all you want, Will, but this is gonna be great. This is gonna be great in six months if this really is, if this really happens. And I really think this is what complements the Apple television.
You're the Mystic Meg of the Bagel Tech. I mean, you come out with this stuff and nothing ever comes true. Go on, what have you said?
fight.
Can we hear what he's got to say for
that? Yeah, come on, let's give
it. Go on, man.
Now, have you got from someone in the TV industry that you and I both know?
Actually, I don't know if you know the person or not.
I don't know.
You've heard of, but it's not from anybody I know. This is from people within the media realm, within the media group. Apple this week has been trying so hard to get content deals. We're seeing that kind of, in a stall point right now. That has to do with this. Now, what this is going to be television, IPTV, coming through your broadband connection through Apple. This is part of their big data center that's all out there. It's part of not only iTunes for on-demand content, it will also be for national television networks, as well as for live news events, live sporting events, and such as that. It essentially gets rid of wherever your provider is now. You have on-demand content if you want it through iTunes. And if you want to watch it live, you pay it like a cable bill every month. But from what I hear, it's going to be called iLive or iStream.
Right. Go on, Greening. Your turn to throw some grief then.
Well, surely it's already been done. If you think about it, the original Apple TV had BBC iPlayer. And we get BBC iPlayer on our iPad now, for instance. Yeah. Or we get the ITV thing. And all that's got live streaming. So this isn't going to happen. It may be. No, it's not. Rubbish. You're talking rubbish, Carl. In the nicest possible way, because I think you're a really nice chap.
I believe it because it's the only market that Apple hasn't cornered yet. It's the only market that they don't have yet. And they're starting to do that. Now, the first clue that this is going to happen, to me, is the Super Bowl this year for the NFL. You get it live on your iPad, and from what I'm hearing, other iOS devices too, and possibly your Mac. That's the first time this has ever been done for an NFL thing.
It's not.
NFL have streamed games live, though, before, haven't they?
Stream, but not exclusively through your Apple TV device or through your iOS device or your iPhone or your iPad.
Wasn't there an England game here in the UK that was it England versus Croatia that was exclusively on internet? You could only watch it on...
Well, I'm not talking about the internet, though. I'm talking about just through Apple.
Yeah, so you're saying that if you want to watch... So will you be getting the Super Bowl on regular TV in the States on the day that it happens?
Of course, yeah. Right. I mean, it's on regular TV, yeah.
But anything that's IP-based, you're not going to be able to get it from anyone else but Apple.
No. No, what I'm saying is that it's the first time that you could... I'm guessing it's an app. You can have either on your iPad, your iPhone, or your Mac, and you'll be able to watch the Super Bowl there, I'm taking for free. Now, there is a thing called League Pass that's online that you can get through the NFL directly, which I've gotten before, and that's exclusive through them. So this is the first time they're opening it up to other... Fine, you laugh all you want.
No, he's coughing. He's covered in smoke.
I mean, no, it's got to happen, hasn't it? Like live content. I mean, that's the big thing at the minute that's going to be the stumbling block, is how to deliver live content to, iOS devices or to Apple TVs or whatever. And I did think that the app solution or the app delivery mechanism, it might be the way they do it. But what Kyle's saying sounds to be sort of slightly different from that. Perhaps a single app that you then channel live content through a single app rather than having separate providers, content providers providing their own apps to the Apple TV. Mm. So be interesting to see how it pans out.
Teresa in the chat room saying that Comcast has got Xfinity in the States, which streams all his content to his iPad. So there's an app that takes all the Comcast content and streams it through. So,
See, that's what I'm talking about, though. That's why I think Apple wants control of that market.
Right.
And I think they're going to do that with the TV, that this is going to be something you plug in. Oh, you don't have to go worry about putting in DirecTV. You don't have to go worry about putting in Comcast. You don't have to go get Sky. Or I'm sure this is going to be obviously set up for the States first. That's how these things go. And then by content, by provider, by content provider, by country, by country, by country, it will slowly get it rolling out. And you'll have your own unique programming for your area or your country.
So that's what the stalling is of the current Apple TV thing.
Well, it's, I wouldn't say it's a stalling. The stalling is getting the content. It's it's getting these program providers to come on, because from what I'm hearing, the infrastructure's there. Apple's ready to go with this. It's part of iCloud. It's part of their whole facility that they built last year. And it's just waiting to go live. It's just waiting to get people to come on board with it.
The only thing that they don't control, though, is the pipes into the home, isn't it? And that's where it might come a cropper. Right. Not too bad here in the UK, because there's not that many people have bandwidth tax. But I know, you know, in Canada and in the US, there are sort of service providers who have quite severe bandwidth caps. And you're saying that, no, we do have bandwidth caps here, don't we? Of course we do. We have network throttling and stuff. I know with Virgin Media that if you have some of the
lower versions,
they will actually throttle it back. And there are only certain times of the day that you can have over a certain amount of data transferred. So I think if as more and more services go to this IP type TV transmission type, you know, effort, it's going to be really difficult for service providers to keep up with the demand, in effect.
Now, you like Mac rumors, don't you, Will?
Yes, love them.
Yeah. Right. Did you see the thing today about Jonathan Ive has got a 50-inch TV locked away in a design studio?
Right.
Confirmation, mate, there is an Apple TV, according to Mac rumors, is that Johnny has got a 50-inch TV locked away in his cupboard.
Yeah, so the confirmation of the rumours of the television is a rumour.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be true.
He might have something.
Yeah, no question.
That you can't see.
Well, what the heck? I mean, he's a knight of the realm. Why would he not have one?
But he might be in his canteen.
True.
To watch the telly.
Kyle's making up these new rumours. Because he's trying to step back now. He said, the reason that...
Because there's no Apple TV coming.
Is because of this new iStream service or something.
iStream or iLive. That's just what I've heard. I don't know if that's the official thing or not. So that's what I've heard this week.
You're still on for this March, is it, or April?
He said May. He did say May.
May. Okay. End of May.
End of May, there's going to be an Apple TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
$20.
$20.
Guaranteed.
$19.99.
Or your money back.
Have we got any cool thingies? I've had enough now. Have we got any cool thingies?
Yeah.
Come on, and Don, start us off, mate. Do something sensible.
Okay.
Not a smoke machine.
No. An iPad application. I Stop Motion for iPad by Boinks.
Oh.
It's really good, actually. I was playing with it over Christmas. I actually did a little voiceover for them for their tutorial. And to be honest, it was when it was in development, so I didn't really have a play with it. But it came out over Christmas, and I had a little play. And although the iPad camera is not too good, you know, it's okay, but the iPad camera is not very good. What I found is that it works really well if you get the free iPhone application. There's a remote camera that links up automatically with your iPad. So what you can do is use your iPad to run the software and then use your iPhone camera to actually take the pictures. Mm-hmm. And it works brilliantly. Fantastic HD quality pictures that are transmitted across to your iPad, and then you compile the movie on your iPad. And, you know, it's one of these stop frame animation things. So you just take a picture, all controlled from the iPad as well. So you just, you know, you can move the camera or the object on your iPhone, take a picture, move the object, take another picture, and do that when you get a couple of seconds worth of stop frame animation, and it works fantastically, and it's really good quality as well. The camera on the iPhone is so much better than the iPad that you get some fantastic results from it.
I bought iStop Motion for a list I've played with when it was in the Mac App Store to start with, and it is brilliant. He's made loads of little tiny movies with it. Loves it to bits.
Well, this is on your iPad, so it's all portable now, and it's great.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Superb. Well done. What was the price? $5.99?
I don't know, something like that. Yes, less than a tenner, yeah.
Very good. Excellent. Good pick. Kyle, what free stuff have you got for us this week?
Yep, it's free. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool to play with. It gets boring after a while, but, you know, it'll help you out with the weekend. It's called Action Movie. And I don't know why. I downloaded it. It was one of, I think, the featured apps this week. I went ahead and, here, I'll just demonstrate it for you.
Right. And it does. Oh, what a nice graphic.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
Blows it up.
Yeah, it blows it up or whatever. I think they got something for a car chasing or something. It's really promoting Mission Impossible crap with Tom Crap. And it's free. and it was kind of fun to play with. I think if you took it outside and you did some step things with it, what's cool about it is you can actually save it to your camera roll. That's what I thought was kind of cool. So you don't have to just keep using the application or something. You can actually use the corny effects within the camera roll. And I think you can take, from what I can guess with it, unlimited video. It just keeps going until your iPhone's full. So it's gimmicky. It's okay. It's crap. Move on.
Did you see the Tom Jones? He did his own stunts. And if you look online, you can see him chucking himself out of the tallest building in the world.
Tom Jones?
What on earth has that got to do with this?
Oh, true. Tom in your...
It's not unusual.
Is that
Tom, what's his name? Tom...
Cruise.
Oh, yeah, Cruise does his own stunts.
It's Tom Jones. If you look at it online, he chucks himself out of this building, and it makes it scary even just looking at it. I wouldn't have done it.
Well, he does base jumping and he does rock climbing and that kind of stuff as well. Because I know the stuff that he did for Mission Impossible 2, where he's like slung out on the rock. That was all him, definitely.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, for a man, what is in his 50s? Is he
saves on the extra cameras and special effects, I guess. And do you know the one in 2 where the dagger comes down and stops just before his eye?
Yeah.
Apparently, the dagger was tied on with a piece of steel cable to stop it going any further. But that's actually not—that's not a special effect. That was actually shot real time. That dagger is actually there. There you go. Slightly off to the left, but it's definitely there. I've got no idea why that's got to do with anything. But Chris, have you got a cool thing for
hell
us?
Hell of a lot better than my pick was. So.
Well, sorry, man.
I do have a pretty cool thing. Have you guys ever heard of the game Ticket to Ride?
No.
Yes. Great game.
I've heard the song.
She's got
a ticket to ride.
So the original game came out, I think, 2003-ish, but it's this huge board game, and it comes with all these pieces. But the basic gist of it is you have a map of the U.S., and there's all these cities, and they have little connections, and you can build railroads from city to city. You know, and the object of the game is you get these cards and you have to complete a ticket. So you have to go from Seattle to New York, or from New York to Miami, or St. Louis to Minneapolis, or whatever. So they have all these different cities, and you know, they recently last year translated that to the iPad, made a really nice iPad version. It's great. Like it has old timey music that plays while you're playing the game, because it kind of takes place in the 1800s, the mid 1800s, and you know, the height of the railroads here in the U.S. They have a Europe version. They have a Switzerland version, Germany versions. They just came out with a new Asian version. But they came out with a new, you guys can see this, Ticket to Ride Pocket for the iPhone. And it's just limited to the U.S. map. So maybe you Brits might find that annoying. But it has a solo play, so they have different AI characters you can play against, and they also have a local version, so you can make a game and you can play with other people that have both the iPad version and other iPhones or iPod touches. And if so, I'll pull, see if I can get a quick game started here. You can see the map. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's got all the, you know, all your cards and tickets and everything. And it's just 99 cents, which is amazing, because the board game, like the board game U.S. version, the basic version, I think is like $70 or $80.
Right.
So it's especially a really great way if you want to just check out the game and see if you're interested in it at all. For 99 cents, it's totally worth it. But the artwork is really good. The music is really good. The gameplay is fun. And now I've got my girlfriend and her son playing it. So he's got it on his iPhone, and she's got it on her iPad, and I've got it on my phone, or also my iPad, and we just, you know, we can be in different places of the house even if we want to be, and just play this game without it's really fun when people are come over to just set up the game and have a bunch of people and you're playing with the board game. But you know, if you just want to play a quick game, it's nice because you don't have to pull out the board and set it all up and count out the little drains and everything. So
brilliant,
shuffle all the little cards. But it's great for 99 cents. Highly recommended.
For a free demo.
Yeah.
Excellent
free,
job.
Is there is free demo?
No, 99 cents. You tie.
It's 99 cents. Yeah.
Greeny, what have you got? Year. What have you got for us, mate? Virtual Ouija board 2 or?
I've got well, I originally chose one, but it's been pulled. Let's kick off with the boring one, shall we?
Only you could pick an app that's been pulled just before you give it as a recommendation, dude.
It's a real shame. Real shame. The one that hasn't been pulled is called iCody. I-C-O-D-Y. And it's very, very dull, but it works really well. So you put it on your iPhone, and then you can use your iPhone to take barcodes that, and you put an application on your Mac that picks up these barcodes, and then you can put it into any database or anything you want, really. Isn't that boring?
Don, yours is the best so far, mate. You're going to win this week. Yeah. No question.
And so it wasn't even a bundle.
But if you look into inventory management or something like that using iOS devices, then iCody is a really good option.
Thanks, Will.
Still better than my pick.
And DHM, what have you got for us, mate?
Oh, hold on, I haven't done my second one yet.
Oh, sorry. I hope you're building up, not down.
Well, the one that has, yeah, I think so, it's called iMAME.
MAME?
Yeah, M-A-M-E. It's nothing to do with...
Oh, yeah.
It's a virtual machete.
No, it is. No. MAME stands for Multi-Arcade Machine Emulator.
No, I think Will's is actually a virtual machete. Go ahead, man.
But it's really good that it allows you to play the original ROMs from the sort of Sega, or, you know, when you went to your local seaside when you're a child and you put your, you know, 10 pence in the machine and played Star Wars or whatever it is. What this Space does or allows you to do is to play those original ROMs from those games. And it's exact, and it works really well on the iPad, works really well on the iPhone. And with a bit of cunningness, you can bring in new ROMs as well from various sources. But unfortunately, Apple pulled it within probably 24 hours.
Well, thanks for giving that great tip that we can't get, Will.
For what we were about to receive.
Yeah.
Well, I did actually preface this with the actual fact that you can't buy it anymore or even download it. It was free anyway from the beginning.
Oh, even worse. Damn. That's the dagger to that's the dagger to Swagger's heart.
I've got that on my phone.
Right. Dr. Appymax, save us.
So, right. Well, this is the iPhone and iPad version of what is billed as Britain's number one magazine for cross-stitching.
Brilliant.
iCross-stitcher.
Cross-stitcher. And you can... There's a Merry Christmas edition. It's free on the iPad and the iPhone. You can knit yourself some little penguins or some Christmas decorations. It's excellent. I mean, Future Publishing have pulled it out of the bag again with this one, I think.
I don't know what to say now, because I was thinking you're joking. You are joking.
Go on. Cross-stitcher.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay. What I was really looking for when I typed it in was a different iPhone and iPad
app. Thank God.
Which is still free. And I've been using it. It's Stitcher Radio.
Oh, we're on there.
You're on there, I know.
And we love them.
It is another way, if you're fed up with being out and about with your iPhone and you want to listen to it and you've run out of editions of your podcast, it tracks you, it sort of logs into your iTunes bits and it works out which podcast you're looking for and it gives you to them as a list, and you can stream them over 3G or, you know, whilst you're out and about. As you go, you do lose a bit of quality. The streaming audio is a bit more downsampled than the iTunes version, but it's more than makes up for the fact that you can just, it's got it all on there. It's great.
But what about this cross stitching you were talking about?
Don't worry.
Which I'm, yes, that's also there. But I don't think they've got a podcast, to be honest.
No.
But
Stitcher's
brilliant. Does it have patterns in it?
It does. You've got patterns there. You've got four. I'm looking at it now. You can, this month, they're majoring on four panels featuring a rather cute little owl that you can cross-stitch into a variety of things, and they will even teach you the basics of stitching.
Oh, where are the parts?
Awesome.
Owl.
Jesus. I'm going to get that.
Yep. Free.
Me too.
Oh, man.
I don't need it, but it's free, so why the hell not?
You don't need it, but who doesn't love a cross-stitched penguin? Who doesn't?
Yeah.
If you're here looking for a Mac podcast, move on. My pick, which was just due before Christmas, but it was only really to piss Greeny off, but I am actually addicted to it now, is the new version of Stick Cricket. From Stick Sports. They sent it me free of charge for a review. So if you want to say that I've been bought, then that's fine. I don't care. But it's absolutely superb. The graphics on the iPad are brilliant. And there's a whole load of levels. And there's a bowling machine that bowls at you. See if I can play it in reverse.
That's so cool.
It is. It is.
No. No, not the game. Screw the game.
Look at that. I played it in reverse.
No, hold it up in the monitor in front of us. And we're actually behind it.
Oh, you are. Look. Yes. Oh, dear. Oh, no, I'm out. Right, there we go. And the other thing is Real Racing 2, because Real Racing 2, with your iPhone and your iPad, it just goes to like a web address that goes into your local network, and it acts like a steering wheel, and it's brilliant. It's just stunning. You must buy it,
£8.99. You were paid to say that.
I had to pay for that one. I didn't get that one free. So there we go.
Oh, disclaimers.
This podcast and many others would not be possible without UK2.net. They've been great to us for the last two and a half years now.
God bless them.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't do this without them, which is probably they may want to withdraw from individual shows now after this week. But if you support UK2, you support us by virtue of the fact that you go to bageltechnews.com, click on the link that goes through from the left-hand side, and then use the offer codes BagelTech. Get you 15% off and Bagel DNS. Use both codes and you'll get a fantastic reduction on whatever you buy from them. One listener wrote in and said, I've used the Bagel DNS code, but they're still charging me £5.98 for registering my domain. Is that right? And I said, well, it's not a free service, so £5.98 for registering domain is not bad, with a 15% discount on top of that. But please support UK2. You have been an awful lot. You bought in your droves last year. So I'm really glad that you've come through BagelTech as well. And you use our link, even if you just want to log in. Just keep going in through the BagelTech link, just so that they know that we're sending returning customers back to them. That would help us a great deal. Thank you. Bugger off, Swagger, during the adverts for the sponsors. No proprietary at all. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com. You can find my apps over on the App Store. Just search for SEO Tutor. And you can always find me over at my blog, themacscreencastguy.com, and Twitter as Dom McAllister.
Do stick around after the show, mate, because I'm going to be picking your brains about how to kill your time machine backup when it's been an hour winding down and still hasn't finished. If we're dropping frames in this, it's because my CPU is running at 97%.
Okay.
Sorry. Carl, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can find me over at Twitter at Kyle Swagger, or you can find me at myfreeappsrecommendationssuck.com.
Thanks, mate. Not as bad as Will's, though. Chris, where can we get you, pal?
I am at arstechnica.com, writing about the Apple and the iPhones and the MacBooks and the what have you.
Photography.
So you can find me there. You can also get me on Twitter at ForzMac.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much. Sure. Mr. Green, you'll be behind a screen of smoke at?
You can get me at britishmac.com or britishpodcast.com.
Well, go on, tell us more. You're doing a podcast on what?
Well, nothing really. I thought it was available, so I registered it.
You don't see that as a limiting factor?
No, not really. It's good. Or you can get me at britishghost.com, internationalmac.com. Or even worldofwill.com.
And there is absolutely nothing on any of these websites at all.
Oh, there is lots of content. Or even
it's your website,
the legend of Britain's gold.com as well.
Oh, mate. And lastly, but night, by no means least, top that, Dr. H.
And you can get me at the adult adventures of drhappymac.com.
Uh,
iFixYourMacLongTime.com.
Oh,
and me so jiggy jiggy, there goes your warranty.com.
Sucky pluggy $5.
Or at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters if you really want to see what's happening.
Thanks, mate.
You probably don't now.
I've got no idea why anyone would ever listen to us again. Thank you very much for listening. Sincerely, we'll see you all. Before we go, the London Mac User Group has got a photo walk with Bageltech Photo on Saturday next week, 14th. Starts at 1 o'clock in the Meat Porters Pub in Borough Market. Be there at 1 o'clock, and we're all going to be out walking around London and taking pictures and having fun. And it should be a real good time. And there's going to be beer drunk as well, though. So there are stops at pubs along the way. The photography's kind of 50-50. So. There we go. And Alex and myself will be there as well, giving out any tips if anyone wants to. If not, we'll be just drinking, staying out of trouble. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.